Hello and welcome to News Now. I'm your host, Taylor Inman. We're going over this week's biggest headlines and what's coming up for the Flathead Valley. It's that time of year again. Glacier National Park has started plowing the Two Medicine Road and will begin plowing the Camas Road Monday, April 1st. Park spokesperson Jenna Eisnagel said crews were plowing snow this week from Running Eagle Falls to Two Medicine Lake and were preparing to plow at the Mini Glacier Road and the Going to the Sun Road at Rising Sun next week. The park expects to start plowing in earnest on the west side April 1st, starting with the Camas Road, Eisnagel said. After that, they'll start the Going to the Sun Road on the west side. The Camas Road typically takes a day or two. The east side roads can vary depending on conditions. Roads are closed to the public when crews are plowing, but open to hikers when they're not. When ice subsides, the park typically opens them to bicycles and later to vehicles. This year, expect road construction on the west side in the spring, as crews need to finish up a construction job on the Sun Road from just before Lake McDonald Lodge to the North McDonald Road. Crews were unable to finish that section due to snow and cold last fall. To check for updates on plowing status, visit the park's current conditions page on its website, nps.gov/glac. Responding to calls to remove toxic waste from the former Columbia Falls Aluminum Company plant, the Environmental Protection Agency said its estimates would cost anywhere from $624 million to $1.4 billion to haul the waste away from the Superfund site. The figures are based on trucking the estimated 1.2 million cubic yards of waste from the site to an approved landfill in Arlington, Oregon. The EPA outlined the cost and other concerns in a March 7th letter to the Coalition for a Clean CFAC, a local group advocating for removal of waste from the site. The proposed action plan for cleanup of the site calls for containing the waste at the most offending landfills and dumps, the wet scrubber pond, and the west landfill by a slurry wall. In addition, a water treatment plant, if necessary, could be constructed to treat contaminated groundwater. But critics have doubts about that roughly $57 million plan, claiming the wall could leak in the future. They also argue it maintains the site as a waste dump forevermore. For years, spent pot liner and other waste was dumped at the west landfill and water from the plant pumped into the pond. As such, the groundwater beneath is contaminated with cyanide and fluoride, two byproducts of the aluminum production process. The EPA raised other concerns about digging up the waste and hauling it away. For one, it has concerns about cyanide gas being released. The EPA raised other concerns about digging up the waste and hauling it away. For one, it has concerns about cyanide gas being released, which is deadly and could potentially harm workers. It has brought up the concern about cyanide gas in the past. Also, there is the sheer volume of waste that would have to be removed. The agency estimates it would take 70 trucks or train loads of waste per day for 4 or 5 years, potentially exposing multiple communities en route to Oregon. The EPA claims the slurry wall option, along with consolidation of other waste at the sprawling 960-acre site, is the best and safest option for the community. It has lower levels of risk, disruption, and cost than other alternatives, the agency noted in its letter. CFAC's parent company, Glencore, would be responsible for a large portion of the cleanup costs, while former owner Atlantic Richfield would have about 35% stakes. ARCO is now owned by energy giant British Petroleum. The EPA was expected to release a draft record of decision this month, but the Coalition for a Clean CFAC recently had a meeting with the EPA in Helena, where they hope the agency will agree to a pause. The Coalition is working towards obtaining a technical advisory grant through the Superfund process, which would afford the group an independent technical advisor, according to Mary Flowers of Citizens for a Better Flathead, which spearheaded the Coalition effort. A study by the U.S. Geological Survey last fall found that 11 glaciers in Glacier National Park have broken into pieces as climate change continues to warm the planet and the park. It's been expected for years that the park's namesake glaciers would melt to a fraction of their former selves and eventually disappear altogether. The study was conducted by Andrew Fountain, Bryce Glenn, and Christopher McNeil. The researchers used high-resolution aerial photos taken from 2016 to 2020 and other imaging to complete the study. Fountain said they are currently looking at data on the rate of ice loss in mountain states. In the Cascade Range, he said, the loss has been about 33% since the late 1960s and early 70s. But in places like the Lewis Range, which includes Glacier Park, it's about 44%. The study found that Agassiz, Blackfoot, Carter, Dixon, Harrison, Kintla, Logan, Shepherd, Two Oceans, Sayi, and White Crow glaciers had broken into pieces. Most were two or three pieces and included perennial snowfields, but White Crow and Harrison were now five pieces with snowfields. In Montana, the researchers found that six glaciers had disappeared entirely. One was in the park. Boulder Glacier was reclassified as a perennial snowfield. The glacier used to sit above Boulder Pass. The Mission Mountains also appeared to have lost two glaciers, Fisher Glacier and Gray Wolf Glacier. Gray Wolf was reclassified as a perennial snowfield, and Fisher was less than 0.01 square kilometer. In 2016, research completed by now-retired U.S. Geological Survey scientist Dan Fagry and his staff found that the park had 26 named glaciers left. At the peak of the Little Ice Age, there were likely 80 glaciers in the park. In 1966, there were 35 named glaciers. Glaciers play an important role in the park's ecosystems, particularly in the summer months. They provide a source of cold, clean water as the runoff cools stream temperatures in the driest and hottest parts of the summer after seasonal snowpacks have vanished, researchers note. Read these full stories at dailyinnerlake.com or at the Hungry Horse News website at hungryhorsenews.com. This is sort of a Chris Peterson special, as all the stories in this episode were written by horse editor Chris Peterson. Let's see what events are coming up. Remember, you can find art classes, live music, and anything community-related by going to dailyinnerlake.com/events and checking out our events calendar. There are many fun Easter events coming up this weekend, including Easter church service at Lakeside's Volunteer Park on Sunday morning, with an egg hunt starting at 7 a.m. followed by service at 10. Later in the week, a showing of Raising Hell Roaring will be presented at Whitefish Performing Arts Center on April 4th. Raising Hell Roaring is a multimedia feature-length presentation that tells the story of skiing on Big Mountain and throughout the region, from Logan Pass to the Cabinet Range, from the 1930s to the end of the first millennium. Admission is $20, and the show begins at 7 p.m. Thanks for joining us. News Now is a podcast from the Daily Interlake. We're proud to be the largest independent newsroom in Montana and the oldest paper in the Valley. Consider becoming a subscriber to support our work. Call Circulation at 406-755-7018. Or go to the subscribe tab in the top right corner of our website. And if you haven't already, subscribe to our YouTube channel to never miss an episode of the pod. Everybody stay safe and have a great week.